Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Rogers Watch, day 5. Welcome to the show. I'm kidding. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've got Cooper Flagg injury to get to in just one moment, Pearl. But this Rogers holdout is starting to make me think that maybe retirement really is on the table. Because really, how long do you have to think about this? You've got potentially three different options. We don't know all the details about them. But some form or fashion, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and the New York Giants. And like, pick a flavor.
Yeah, it's a good point, but it's a hard decision. That maybe that's what I can picture. I actually tried this last night, a thought experiment. I'm on the beach in Malibu looking out of the ocean. I'm Aaron Rodgers. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
It is almost a perfect conundrum because Pittsburgh gives them the best chance to win amongst Pittsburgh and New York. But do you really want to go to Pittsburgh where offense goes to die? Mm. I don't want to play with that coordinator. I don't want to play with Arthur Smith. And Rodgers, all he wants to do is go out on a high note, I think. That, don't you think that's the most important calculus to him? Not the money, not even necessarily winning a Super Bowl, but just have a good season after the Jets. And I'm not sure that Pittsburgh shapes up to have a good season because I still think they're a bit of a mess on offense.
Do you think that Minnesota is not... commit, not saying 100% you're going to start, not just week one, but that you're going to start the entire season if you're healthy? Like, is that, do you think the hang up that the J.J. McCarthy aspect of this thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, well, but if you're Minnesota, then, you know, why are you not promising that, right? Like, if you are, if you're actually thinking enough about Rodgers to bring him into the quarterback room, well, then you know the deal. Mm. You're going to have to give him some assurances that he's going to be the guy.
Well, even if you do give him an assurance, Rodgers has to know if he goes out there and plays badly that they'll sit him for McCarthy. So I don't even know if he would trust an assurance. They almost benched him in New York. The owner called down and said, bench him.
I mean, but the Jets are not a good organization. I think the Vikings are a good organization. And here's the thing. How are you going to play badly when you got those kind of weapons? Like, Sam Darnold won a 14 games. Rodgers has to think, I could be gangbusters in this offense.
No, I mean, I think Rodgers can't move and would get demolished. I think his fear would be, I'm going to be limping around, and or he could easily play badly in Minnesota.
Favre best, went to Minnesota. Best offensive line, though, of the three teams.
Favre went to Minnesota and had a great first year. Then he just got beat up to all heck the second year and played terribly.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you think it's a guarantee that he's going to throw 40 touchdowns? I think with J.J. McCarthy, he's going to be breathing down his neck there. But also, J.J. McCarthy was really good in the little preseason action we saw. So no assurance to me is safe enough. I think Rodgers is thinking about that.
Okay, so here's ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. Perloff and I both know him pretty well. Got a lot of sources, and I want to play this for you and then say something about it on the back end. But here's Graziano saying that the Steelers and the New York Giants are begging for Rodgers to sign with them.
Steelers and the Giants are like flagship franchises of the league, and they're waiting on a decision from a guy the Jets just cut. Like, think about that. Like $49 million in dead money on the Jets cap to not have this guy on the team, and the Giants and Steelers are begging him to sign with them.
Begging. Is it not a way that we had kind of heard that framed before? And I just want to say this. I don't think that's coming, not to source guess, I don't think that's coming from Rodgers' camp, because Dan Graziano has been pretty critical of Aaron Rodgers over the last year and a half or so. I believe he called him like a huckster or con man or something like that. It got pretty personal. So I don't think this information is coming from Rodgers' side of it, considering how, what we know about Rodgers, bit of a grudge holder. Can't imagine he'd be too thrilled with being called a con man or whatever Dan called him. So I think this is probably coming from teams who are waiting on pins and needles for him to make a decision and understanding the whole scope of the thing.
Yeah. Don't make it up, okay?
One other thing, too. The Giants, I read Paul Schwartz, who's a pretty good Giants reporter, was saying that they're drafting a quarterback, whether it's Rodgers or whoever comes in, they're drafting a quarterback high.
They need to. Those two dudes, Shane and Dable, who are making decisions, are on a the hottest seat possible. They need some big swings.
Right, but I'm saying you're going to have Rodgers and Shador there. Rodgers doesn't want that. Why would he want that situation? I think Pittsburgh not having any, they're probably not going to draft a quarterback, although they could draft a quarterback as well. I think Rodgers doesn't want any other quarterbacks in the room.
This is like a Kirk Cousins situation where you think you're the guy and then all of a sudden they draft Michael Penix. I guess it'd be funny if the Giants draft Shador Sanders, because we think of Rodgers as he's so famous and he takes up so much oxygen. The guy who could go toe-to-toe with him is Dion.
Yeah.
You want a McAfee interview? I'll do two McAfee interviews. Dion, will not let Rodgers, just tell the story. It wouldn't be his version of things if Shador is there, right? And I'm not saying they have a contentious relationship. I'm just saying that's a heavyweight media battle.
That'd be, by the way, the Giants would go from one of the, I would say they're at least five bottom relevant teams in the NFL to the number one most relevant team in the NFL. If they had Aaron Rodgers and Deion Sanders running around that.
Well, Shador, but Deion by extension.
Well, Deion running around the organization. He'd be at the, I assume we'll see a lot of, if Shador goes to New York, I think we'll see a lot of Deion in the area as a very, very active sports dad. I think
the guy's got
chaos.
A television show. He's active sports dad. He's got his own platform. Here's one thing, though. Yeah. Can I ask you about the Giants with possibly taking Shador Sanders at third overall? If they now they've seen him, right? Because we had reports that, Giants brass and Giants scouts were at every one of Shador's games or many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and obviously we just had the combine. So you've gotten a bit of a sense here of maybe what your evaluation of the guy. I'm sure it's not complete, but, you're probably pretty far down the road. The draft is in a month.
Absolutely.
If you really love Shador, are you going this far down the road with a famous quarterback like Rodgers? Why not bring in Russell Wilson? Who's visiting them today, by the way?
And Flacco's in the building today, too. Or he was there yesterday.
So, why not bring in somebody, not that Russ is low profile by any stretch, but why not bring in somebody who's not going to, bring the media circus and all that other stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I keep trying to sell Joe Flacco to everywhere. I think Flacco with a rookie quarterback makes so much more sense than Rodgers and a rookie quarterback for the reason you just said. Russ is maybe a little too high profile in this situation, but he's still the same. I agree. That's a good formula. But one thing about Shador, it's not just what they think about him. I think they're wondering what the rest of the NFL thinks about him. Do they have to use that number three overall pick on him? Is it, what if he falls and they trade back in and they could get Travis Hunter and Shador or Abdul Carter and Shador?
Right.
I think it is... Again, Shador is one of the most polarizing draft prospects. There are a lot of people who say he's going to fall. If he falls to the middle of the round, then trade back up, get Shador. So that it's not just what they think about him. They have to wonder what the rest of the NFL thinks about him.
It's a great point. Can I also bring up another wrinkle to this? Yeah. I think that during this Rodgers kind of will he, won't he, where is he going to go? We've looked at the Giants and the Steelers as the two desperate teams that sort of exist right now.
Yeah.
Right? These are the two desperate quarterback teams. Can I actually posit that the Cleveland Browns are the most desperate quarterback team? And spare me the Kenny Pickett. Because you have this, not only do you not have a starter on the roster who's healthy, you also are digging yourself out of the disaster that is the Deshaun Watson situation, which is not just, okay, he tore his Achilles. Mm-hmm. We need another option. It's like, and we need to like erase Deshaun Watson from the memory bank of every Browns fan. We talk about the Steelers are desperate. The Giants are desperate. I could make a very strong case that it's the Browns who are the most desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah, but somehow that's not the national narrative.
Well, I think it should be. I think you and I should start it right now. We've got the power of our microphone because they are super desperate too. And bringing in Russell Wilson, you know, what's that going to do?
Well, I got to tell you right now, bringing Aaron Rodgers to Cleveland would be maybe the worst idea in the history of sports. To go from Deshaun Watson to Aaron Rodgers, I don't even think that's on the table.
No. I'm saying for Shador, that they would draft Shador a second.
I just think that is, again, and it's really hard. A lot of scouts have different opinions that Shador is not a number two overall kind of quarterback, that he's just not that elite. So if you could get him later, that'd be even better. I think if you want to change the narrative, to me, you know how I feel about this. Bring in Travis Hunter. You have a guaranteed superstar. You have Deion.
Yeah.
Who's closer to Deion, Travis Hunter or Shador? Obviously, Travis Hunter. I would go with that direction. Then you have a guy who's fascinating to everybody. I think he gets out on the NFL field. Everyone's going to want to watch him. Changes the narrative. Shador feels like a B-plus quarterback in a situation that'll be just okay. It doesn't feel exciting to Cleveland to me.
Listen, we all think Travis Hunter is awesome, and this is going to be very, very fun to watch. Whatever you think about how many snaps he should play on offense and defense, you're right. He's, you know, it's the Shohei Ohtani effect.
Yeah, a bit
and it's
unique.
Going to be must-see. The problem is nothing in football changes a franchise like a quarterback. Like, we just saw Myles Garrett, who's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He can't affect the win total in Cleveland. Joe Thomas couldn't affect the win total in Cleveland. There's no other position that can really affect winning and losing, to me, outside of quarterback. So Travis Hunter could go there and be exciting, but he's not actually going to change the win total at all, right?
Yeah, but does Shador Sanders move the needle for this team? Because their cap's all screwed up because of Deshaun. You really can't build a great team around him. I'm not sure, really. I don't think anyone's penciling them into next year's Super Bowl because of Shador. I just don't see that as very exciting. Do you really do?
I disagree. I think that young quarterbacks are basically the one thing you can get excited about. You know, unless you're really deep in the weeds on, you know, tape study. Like, if you're, I'll give you another example. Do you think that Patriots fans are more excited about Christian Gonzalez or Drake May?
Yeah, but if Drake May was there, then I think Cleveland would be excited. But to me, Shador is much more of a system guy. I mean, Drake May is
a
stud. I don't think, see, that's the thing. I don't think Shador is. And Shador, the part about getting a rookie quarterback is you could build a team around him. Cleveland, because they're idiots, cannot do that because their cap is forever screwed because of Deshaun Watson. Yeah. So you have Shador, and you can't really do what. Look at Washington right now. They're buying every free agent on the market.
Yeah.
Look at Chicago. They're spending so much money. Cleveland can't even do that. So Shador's going to get there and be like, well, okay, bring in all the Pro Bowlers around me. Sorry, Shador. It's you and
David Njoku.
Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't even know if he's there. So I just think that, yeah, the Cleveland really would not, unless you really, really love Shador. But what you're describing is they're going to take Shador because they need a quarterback, not because they love Shador. And that, to me, is not as exciting.
Well, I think the Giants will do the same thing. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. And EJ, maybe we can throw this up on the poll at Maggie and Pearl. Who's the most desperate team for a quarterback, Steelers, Giants, or Browns? I think Browns is actually, like, I'd vote Browns on our poll.
Woof, woof.
It's dire over there. And I think that Stefanski, et cetera, are also on the hot seat. Maybe not to the level as the Giants dudes, but I think everyone's really trying to come up with some sort of Hail Mary to save their job. So that definitely plays into it. 855-212-4227. And again, back to Rodgers, where Dan Graziano said the Steelers and the Giants are begging him. I get sometimes Rodgers wants to hog the spotlight and kind of likes it when people are chasing after him and making a big deal about him. You know, he says all this stuff about ego death, Pearl. It feels like he's got the biggest ego of, I don't say anybody, but he's up there.
Okay. Feels like a bit of an unnecessary shot in this situation.
I'm just saying. I think he likes the attention. That's not a shot. I watched the documentary.
He hasn't said anything. I mean, you're assuming this week that he... What you're saying is he's holding out just so everybody talks about him for 4 days.
No, this is I'm leaving that open as a possibility. But what I'm now starting to think is a little more of like what EJ was saying earlier this week, which is, do you really need 5 days? Like, I know maybe you're milking it. Maybe you are. But now I'm starting to think maybe he's not milking it. Maybe this is really the retirement again, like the retirement, you know, contemplation.
Could be.
If he's listening to Enya on the beach, single tear rolling down your face as you watch the, you know, waves of the Pacific Ocean crash against Malibu.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to say these are not ideal spots. So yep. Also, it's a funny show. I mean, the Giants were 3-14. That's a bad spot. That's not where you go. The Steelers' offense is terrible. And Minnesota has a top 10 pick sitting there. So if there was a perfect spot for him, do you think he would take 4 days?
I do not. But I think it all goes into the stew.
Yeah, I think it's exactly. I think there's a calculus here where he doesn't love all three spots.
No, if Stafford had gone to Vegas and the Rams were open, like, we already would have had the press conference.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, 855-212-4227. Yeah, I was thinking about this, you know, as I'm driving in. I'm like, why is he taking so long? Usually the no news is good news, but if you really have to think this long and hard, remember the last time he had to go into the darkness for 4 days and like live in a tree or whatever.
Well, you know, to be fair, Brady took a little while after the season all the time. I think he signed with the Bucks 2 weeks into free agency. It wasn't the day after. It's interesting how free agency sped up so much this year and all the decisions were made by Monday and free agency officially started Wednesday. Look at the timeline on Brady, and I could be wrong. It wasn't the day after the season. So
yeah, March 20th, by the way. So you're right on the money on that.
Yeah. Right. It's March 14th.
One of my darkest retreat.
Yeah.
And what a mistake.
No, it was a good move.
No, I know, but there were not enough teams in on Tom Brady. Yeah. What a mistake by the rest of the league.
Yeah, they took that bleeper over me.
That MFer over me, which we all think is Derek Carr, but I still think could have been Jimmy Garoppolo.
But anyway. By the way, we don't know that wasn't Brady, too. That's my point. Brady could have delayed it, too.
That's fair.
Also, Rodgers has his teams over the barrel. What's the rush?
Yeah. 855-212-4227. All right. Dan Graziano, very plugged in. Says teams are begging Aaron Rodgers. But we're asking two questions here. One, who is the most desperate team for a quarterback? Is it actually the Giants, the Steelers, or the Browns? I think it's the Browns. Two, Rodgers, now that we're in day five, are you starting to think retirement versus play next year? 855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do. We mentioned Cooper Flagg goes down in a heap yesterday in the ACC tournament. We'll bring you up to speed on all the latest with the Duke superstar. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Let's do it.
Yeah, I've been immunized.
Very, very disappointed by what happened yesterday in college basketball. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Cooper Flagg's injury was devastating to me, Maggie. I'll tell you why.
You personally. Not Duke, but you.
Me personally.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I think he's fine. He was sitting out there, and he could play as soon as they needed him, because I've rolled that ankle a million times. But I was so ready to fade Duke all the way throughout this tournament. I was thrilled to fade Duke. And now I think that everyone is going to fade them a little bit because their star player is obviously going to deal with an ankle issue.
Yeah, it's that kind of compassion that people come to expect from the media.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Be injured so we can fade you on DraftKings.
Injured? Oh, come on. This is basketball on a rolled ankle. Mm. Dude was sitting out there. He wasn't even limping when he walked out in the second half. I don't know what happened there. And he was sitting there the whole game. I couldn't believe he rolled his ankle in the first half, really bad, looked bad. But then he came out with no visible wrap, no visible boot, no nothing.
Right.
So it does seem like a very standard basketball ankle sprain.
Sure. I still think that means we're not seeing him today when Duke plays North Carolina in the ACC tournament. So that'd be the third time they play each other this year, which, by the way, this is big for North Carolina. Remember we talked to Roy Williams like a couple weeks ago, and UNC looked dead in the water. Now they've won 8 of their last 9. Looks like they're going to definitely be in the tournament, and a win today would obviously go a long way.
Right. But
anyway, that's the flag.
Nobody remembers the ACC tournament. We were talking yesterday about Kentucky and Calipari fading the tournament himself. Nobody remembers. All that matters is the tournament next year, and they're still – next week. They're still co-favorites with Auburn to win the whole thing. Mm. They're still probably going to be, they're definitely going to be a one seed. They might be the number one overall seed. I just think that they're young. And even yesterday, you saw it. Flag goes up, and another freshman steps up and is awesome, Isaiah Evans. And they are just young teams do not win in college basketball anymore. How many times do we have to learn this lesson? They are ridiculously young. Mm-hmm. How are they going to beat all these old teams throughout the tournament? That's why I wanted to fade them. But now I think with a slightly diminished Flag, I don't think most people expect them to win at all. I think right now the story today, as we sit here on Friday, is, oh, man, even if he comes back, he won't be 100%. And Duke's not that good that they can overcome that.
So we're talking about Cooper Flagg rolled his ankle yesterday in the first game yesterday's slate in the ACC tournament. And I guess here's the thing about his ankle. So he can't play for the rest of the ACC tournament. That seems like taking an unnecessary risk.
Well, would you say he can't play? They won't play him.
They won't play him, and I don't think they should play him. I think it'd be silly because this is not a team that's trying to improve their seed. They're going to be one. They're going to be a number one, and we talked about this before the show. They're of the sites of where Duke could be sent.
Yeah.
If it's Atlanta or if it's Newark, it's still going to feel like a home court advantage most likely. They've got a huge following, obviously, in the South,
yeah.
But Duke has a really big following in the Northeast as well. But anyway, that's a side.
Northeast is a home game for sure.
Yeah, tangent for them. But,
well, no, I think that is a big deal. They want the number one overall seed. They want to go to Newark, I think.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's not a bad second option, considering where the fan base is. But anyway, that's a side. Here's my thing about the ankle. Cooper Flagg is not like even your average star. Like, he's the kind of guy who's not just leading them in points, assists, rebounds, high usage. Defensively, he's one of their best players. They actually lost one of their other defensive players yesterday, Malik Brown, which is a little bit
people
aren't talking about it as much, but could also be pretty devastating for them. We'll see how he recovers. But the Flag, like, how complete of a player he is. He's not just your scorer or you're this or you're that. He's everything. And so this is where I think you get a little bit nervous if you're Duke, because you say it's like a run-of-the-mill basketball injury, and you would know a lot more about that than I would. But also, is it easy to re-aggravate?
Definitely.
Right. So, like, and now I'm also bringing into account the guy's going to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. And I know it's probably cool to win a national title and to do it at Duke, but you're also looking at life-changing money coming down the road. And, you know, he's going to just be on a list of great Duke players. He's not going to be like the best guy in program history. I don't know. I wonder if there's a calculus there where he's thinking, well, I don't know if I want to wrap this thing all together.
Oh, I don't think so. I think his mom's a psycho and it's going to make him play no matter what. I think he could break his leg in 7 spots and still be the number one overall pick in the NBA. He just turned 18. He's so young.
That's true.
I don't think the NBA is even going to blink at this injury. No, I think he seems like a guy who's really into it. Doesn't seem like for one second
that he's looking for an exit ramp.
Yeah, that he's going to miss it. He's not Nick Bosa his senior year or junior year at Ohio State. He's going to sit it out for the draft. And he knows the reality is he's going to be the number one. He's been a huge star since he was a sophomore in high school. So that's an interesting thought, but not in this particular situation. And you're right, he does everything. But let me ask you a question about Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
When you think of singular players who can lead a team to an NCAA tournament, does he come to mind? I think of Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. I think of guys that are just so dominant at every aspect of the game. And to me, Cooper Flagg's just not physically dominant like that. I don't think that he can single-handedly carry Duke through all these SEC teams myself. I think he's a really, really great college player, but I just don't think he's ready to be the guy who, like, kind of like Carmelo did at Syracuse. I just don't think he could do that.
Well, I would argue that he can. And the biggest, I think, positive for Cooper Flagg is not just what we watched in this Duke season, which is, you know, they're one of the number one seeds. Do you remember going back to last year before the Olympics and he was working out with Team USA, like Team USA proper, not like an off Olympic year where like some guys get in and whatever. This is the dream, not the dream team, but Team USA. And they said that he was one of the best players at the workout. That's the part where I'm like, maybe this, I know you think that young teams can't win in this day and age in NCAA tournament, but the dude's different. And I think what your peers say about you, because when are guys rushing to, you know, to praise Duke players? They went out of their way to say how awesome he was, and that to me was the biggest sign of, wow, this guy really is like really special. Like the Steph Currys and LeBron Jameses are saying he's just different. Like Kevin Durant is saying he's a different dude. That carried a lot of weight with me.
Yeah, no, he's I
like, they
trust
don't have
me,
to say that about a 17-year-old.
He just turned 18. He's 6'8". He weighs 210 pounds. He scored 18 points a game. This is not, oh my God, all of a sudden we have such a ridiculous player. There's no way that teams are going to get him off his mark. I think that it's going to be a challenge for Duke physically to sort of hang in here. I was excited to fade Duke. UConn is a team that is a dominant team of this generation, right? They never have guys like Cooper Flagg. They have guys who stick around.
They wanted him. they wanted him bad. They missed out.
But, I mean, why would this be the aberration of a ridiculously young team? And now I think everybody's going to... People are going to look at their bracket and say, oh, Cooper Flagg has this tender ankle. I'm going to fade them. But, again, I just don't think Duke was right. Duke's got so much name recognition. The other thing, come on, watch this ACC tournament, then watch the SEC tournament. Tell me that's a legit number one seed. I'm going to bring it to college football terms. They basically had Indiana's schedule this year. That's how I feel. And again, I've always hated Duke. Keep that in mind. So we're all clear here.
Okay, now it makes sense.
No, believe me. He's going to turn into the biggest North Carolina fan in like 48 hours. But hat's going to come out. All of a sudden, it's going to be something about your uncle. Like,
hated
went
Duke
there
my whole life.
Or something.
Tatum. I love the players. I love Zion. I love Tatum. And I love Cooper Flagg. I'd love to have him in Philly. But can't stand the over coverage of Duke. It's always annoyed me.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who has headlines for us on this Friday. Again, Cooper Flagg injured, x-rays were negative, doesn't look like he's going to play today against North Carolina. Hey, Bogues.
Guys, good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
He's an idiot and a fool.
Hey, good morning. Still no Aaron Rodgers decision, but at least we know Gardner Minshew's future, the former Raider and Jaguar signing on to back up Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City because for some reason they don't want Carson Wentz anymore. Minshew 2-7 last season as Vegas' starter, throwing for 9 touchdowns and 10 picks. And then there's Daniel Jones, now in Indy, to battle Anthony Richardson for QB1.
A lot of respect for Anthony watching him. I think he's certainly a talented young player, and I think the competition aspect of it brings out the best in everybody, and I think we're both interested in helping this team win games and whatever we can do to help that happen.
Wow, that guy's
Jones,
a killer.
As dynamic as ever.
Oof. Look out, Anthony Richardson.
But here's a question for you. Do backup quarterbacks, which in theory is kind of, well, I don't know, they're signing him to be competition, but the second quarterback listed on the depth chart, which is what he would be today, do they usually get a press conference? Like, Gardner Minshew is not getting a press conference, and I know he's backing up Mahomes, is very different, but I'm trying to think of other backups who have signed this cycle. Did they get press conferences?
No, well, I mean, 1 year, $14 million. Is that backup, though? He's not really a back. Again, like you said, he's not a backup.
I don't know where he is. It's like this weird gray area limbo that they're clearly trying to make Anthony Richardson feel uncomfortable and maybe get the best out of him.
I don't know. I think they want to play Daniel Jones.
Or maybe they want to play Daniel Jones.
Or
but if you're Richardson, like, isn't this another thing where you're like, man, you guys really hate me. You just took me like fourth overall 2 years ago.
Oh, I don't think Anthony Richardson has any right to say that. His numbers are so awful.
I know, but he also did get hurt. I mean, listen, he took himself out of a game. I get it. Like,
I don't think that has anything to do with it. Look at his stats.
Bench for that.
He has 8 touchdowns and 12 picks and completed 48% of his passes last year.
Is that bad?
Well, the problem,
what
does he expect to happen?
Yes, knew he was a project.
But that's not
Joe Burrow getting drafted to the Colts here.
Right, but I mean, that's so bad. Obviously, he has to expect them to bring in somebody.
But this is all of the things that people were worried about with Anthony Richardson coming out of college have been a problem in the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
Like that he was raw and like mechanically unsound and he has terrible footwork. And so not to cut him any excuses, but it seems to me that the Colts are kind of dodging the fact that they picked a guy who was going to be a project and have not made him a better quarterback. Now, maybe they've tried and it's just he's not accepting teaching, whatever.
It's possible.
But I mean, let's not forget that this is kind of who he was supposed to be.
Well, I think All true, but I don't think they expected 47% in his second year. I think he's below what they expected.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I mean that's nobody, because nobody has done that since 1974. Yeah. I mean, he's but the worst statistical
quarterback. Tim Couch numbers.
By the way, is there anybody else here who watches the Colts and still is like, oh, man, I love Anthony Richardson. He's so
Ryan
Hickey. Not Colts fans.
Yeah.
His highlights are amazing, though. His highlights, well, I mean, first of all, he still seems to win a lot of football games.
A lot. Doesn't play a lot of football games. How could he win a lot of football games? He's like 8-9.
Yeah, I mean, I generally think that the fact that he, with those numbers, you should be 0-17.
My problem with Anthony Richardson is really with the Colts in the fact that, remember when Shane Steichen, when they asked him about Anthony Richardson running too much, he said you wouldn't tell Steph Curry to stop shooting threes.
Right.
Well, he hasn't developed as a passer, and when he runs, he gets hurt. So
Or tired.
Or he pulls himself out of games. So, like, what about this whole strategy in terms of developing him has worked? Like, you embrace him running too much. Now he can't throw. Now he can't run because he gets hurt. I feel like this has been dead on arrival in terms of how they developed him.
It's a great point. And also, like, look at what happened to the last regime who trusted Daniel Jones. All those guys are, like, they can't even sit on their seats. They're so hot. They're trying for Stafford and waiting on Rodgers, and they might have to overdraft on Shador. Like, it doesn't go well. Daniel Jones doesn't save jobs.
I think John Mara's replaced the chairs in the offices of Joe Shane with just like grills.
Volcanoes.
It's just a grill.
Yeah. Solo stove things.
Yeah.
But
it's a hot plate.
But you guys know what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. It's going to be like 2 years ago, they're going to RPO the heck out. He's going to run for 800 yards, and they're going to be 8-9. And everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, I'll give Steichen one more shot. They're definitely going to be a run like crazy. Run Jonathan Taylor, run Daniel Jones, run Anthony Richardson. Yeah, they're going to throw 8 passes a game, and they'll be in a lot of games like they've been the last 2 years.
What else we got, folks?
We've got Luka Doncic, 45 points, 11 rebounds, but the Lakers lost again, 126-106 in Milwaukee. It's a 3-game skid now for banged-up L.A.
It's always going to be tough when there's three or four starters out. And, you know, it's always tough, but say last year, talk about team-wise, you know, the winning teams always go through something.
The Bucks snapping a 3-game skid with this 20-point win. Giannis, 24 points, 12 boards, 9 assists. The Magic rolled through New Orleans, 113-93, and the Warriors took care of the Kings, 130-104. Steph Curry, just 11 points, but became the first player ever with 4,000 threes. Former Sacramento guard, now with the Spurs, De'Aaron Fox, will undergo season-ending left pinky surgery, that injury dating back to training camp. The Spurs, of course, already losing Wemby for the rest of the season. Messi was back last night as Inter Miami played Jamaica's Cavalier FC. Messi scored. His club won 2-0 to reach the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. It was his first match since February 25th because of fatigue. Not a single Washington Capitals scored last night in L.A., losing to the Kings 3-0. That means Alex Ovechkin still needs 8 goals to match Wayne Gretzky for the most all-time. And on the bubble of the bubble of the bubble, GWB Fordham 88-81 in the 10-second round. Guys, back to you.
This was a wildly infuriating thing to watch
Fordham
today.
Covered.
So Boga shows. What did we decide? Was it just going to be breakfast?
Yeah, it's just breakfast.
Okay, so Boga shows us breakfast again because my alma mater beat his alma mater last night. And I told you yesterday I was having trouble finding USA Network for some reason. Yesterday I do finally find it. It's all pixelated. Like there's somebody, the sports gods don't want me to watch this game.
I was like, Maggie, are you watching this on a 70 black and white TV?
Yeah.
That picture, I was like, what am I
looking
at?
It was crazy. Every other channel worked perfectly except this one. So I was following along because it got really tight at the end. Last time my alma mater beat your alma mater by like 30. It was a blowout.
Maybe the HVAC guy is also your cable
guy. I was wondering if maybe he's living in our attic.
Is that right?
It crossed my mind. I told you guys yesterday, we have this HVAC guy. We went through some HVAC stuff. And because my husband is an engineer, so he kind of is interested in this stuff. And also just, he's friendly. Like, he's just nice. He's way nicer than me. And he's just very...
That's not hard, though, Maggie.
To be fair, bar's not high.
No.
But he will, like, chat this guy up, and they'll chit-chat a little if my husband's home. So I'm like, I think the guy's
breaking
stuff on purpose just to come back to talk to my husband. And I heard... Has this ever happened in your house? I know some of you guys live in apartments, but when you just hear a thud,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, what was that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a house sound. Yeah. But it's like a thud, and it kind of comes out of nowhere. And I heard one yesterday when I was home just with me and Lucas.
Oh, oh, nice.
Yeah. And I'm like, Johnny? Like, is he maybe living in the attic? You've heard those weird things where, like, people camp out and, like, this stuff never really happens, but maybe it's like a Stephen King book. I don't know. People living under the stairs, whatever it is.
But do you investigate it, though, is the question.
No.
Hell no. Right. I don't investigate anything. That's not my
except
job.
Except JFK's killer.
I'd send Lucas in there. I'd be like, all right, kiddo, up to the attic, pal.
You want
to
play hide and seek real quick?
Yeah. Here, oh, take this flashlight and tell me if you see anybody. And then I'll call 911 and
you
run.
You want to be mom's little helper today?
Pull down on the string.
Is Uncle Joey up there?
Yeah. God, I think this guy really likes our family, like, a little too much.
No, you think he likes your husband too much.
I'm not much of a conversationalist. Yeah,
you should be
why.
Worried that you're expendable.
And they can just live in a world where they get to talk about the heating and air conditioning. And I'm, you know, buried in the backyard.
Yeah. I don't know about that. They might just run off to where the, I don't know, where
HVAC
there's more
convention.
Yeah. Busier places for HVAC work. I don't know.
Cooling systems, heating systems. Yeah. It's wildly interesting.
Oh, they would probably get along great. CBS Sports Network,
yeah.
They broadcast the HVAC championships where dudes just replace air conditioners.
So, hand to God, these guys build boilers on, like, on a set.
Bogus and I have seen this in the newsroom.
It's unbelievable.
This is like CBS Sports Network's version of the Ocho.
And this is my new nightmare, too, because I've been begging CBS Sports Network for play-by-play work, and they're finally going to go, we got something for you. It's the HVAC 2025 World Championship.
Yeah. Do you know your way around a boiler? Wow.
What kind of wrench is that?
What's the most obscure sport you've ever called?
Luckily, nothing really
weird.
Obscure. Like,
yeah.
For me... Like, I had to learn lacrosse,
yeah.
Like, within 36 hours, but that's not an obscure sport.
No, and that's not that hard.
How about Ford and basketball?
different kind of obscure. Although, I think they did beat Dartmouth this year.
Oh. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. In the last 2 years, they've beaten Dartmouth.
Kudos to them.
Once again, proving how obscure they are.
All right, 855-212-4227.
Right?
Yeah, we'll put in our breakfast orders for your Ramily. Rams. Are they going with the NIT?
What's the tournament that's below the NIT?
CBI?
Does that still exist?
Hell yeah.
What was the 3-on-3 tournament when we were kids? Like, hoop it up?
Unrivaled.
No. Oh, my God.
Like, in the parking lot of arenas, they are barely qualifying for that.
And one mixtape tour? Anyone?
Maybe.
To me, that's high end.
They could watch an NIT game. They're not going to play in the NIT.
Meanwhile, GW marches on. Got that. Go Revs. 855-212-4227. All right. Lots to do, including this is the war of words that we've all been waiting for. We got drama. We'll talk about it next.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Well, because the Dallas Cowboys do very little on the field, Pearl, or did very little in free agency.
Wow.
The only thing we can really talk about is the drama that's going on off the field, and that sound you hear is the Cowboy Quickie. So welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So it started with DeMarcus Lawrence, who signed with the Seattle Seahawks for 3 years, $18 million, coming off a really intense foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing an interview with the Seattle... Let me get this right here.
I thought it was
somebody.
I thought it was a team employee.
It's not. I think it's somebody else. We'll give this man full credit in a moment. But he said that while Dallas is home, DeMarcus Lawrence said it had one fatal flaw.
Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
We here.
Okay, so that obviously made its way around the internet, and Micah Parsons said, quote tweeted the clip and said, "This what rejection and envy look like. This some clown bleep with the clown emoji." To which DeMarcus Lawrence then responded, Pearl, "Calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left."
Wow.
Bang. And that is officially the most interesting thing that has happened to the Cowboys, around the Cowboys, in a calendar year.
Yeah.
So that's your Cowboy Quickie.
You know, it's so funny because yesterday this clip came out of CeeDee Lamb almost crying because he's supposed to be best friends with DeMarcus Lawrence.
Mm.
And I assumed that DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons were thick as thieves.
Mm-mm.
Because they're both, how could they not be friends? That, I mean, I get it, but it really surprised me. I figured all defensive ends are friends.
You know, it's funny. I actually read a column about this where they are, you'd think they're close.
Right, because they're on the same unit.
But they aren't. And not only that, I think that it's possible DeMarcus Lawrence may have interpreted a tweet that Micah Parsons said, it's my time, after Lawrence signed with Seattle, saying it's my time because Lawrence is gone, Jordan Lewis is gone, who else are they? Oh, what's his face? Retired.
Zach Martin.
So you lost a lot of the big veterans and maybe, you know, vocal leaders on the team. And I think a lot of people thought the it's my time tweet meant it's my time to sign a contract. Let's put pen to paper. But he meant more of like a leadership role. And maybe that rubbed DeMarcus Lawrence the wrong way.
I'm the captain now.
Kind of.
Well, that's ridiculous. If that makes sense for Micah Parsons to say, it's my time, I'm going to step into a leadership role. That's fine for him to say that. I don't know why Lawrence would have been mad at that.
Well, I don't know if he was, but I'm just saying Lawrence was already there when Micah Parsons was drafted the team, and then he comes in, he's a big name, big personality, he's got all the podcasts and the outlet, he runs Bleacher Report's football coverage, yeah, you know.
Two jobs.
Side hustle. And
80 hours a week.
I mean, the guy's putting in work. But maybe Lawrence, there's possible maybe he resented that. I have no idea. But anyway, it's on.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, how about them? But here's the question about Lawrence. Spot the lie. I mean, the guy's there 11 years, seen everything. If he says I'm not winning a Super Bowl there, I don't think that's just like salty, sour grapes. I think he got a look up close at how the operation runs and has said what a lot of people have said. They're not going to win while Jerry's in charge.
Why?
I said it. They're not going to win a Super Bowl with Jerry in charge.
Yep.
And now, as Jerry gets older, it seems much more realistic that that'll happen. It's probably not going to be this year. So I don't know. What's the path? And with this Dak Prescott contract, he's right. I think DeMarcus Lawrence, I mean, Seattle is at least rebuilding. At least they have hope that in 3 years he'll be somewhere. Where would he go in Dallas?
I mean, I don't know what DeMarcus Lawrence has left. Like, he's a guy who's played 11 years in the league, and he's coming off a pretty significant foot injury that kept him out for all but four games last year. I think one of the big reasons why he may be in Seattle is actually because he has a connection with their defensive coordinator. Mike McDonald is the head coach, and he's a defensive guy, but he's also got some connections to the coaching staff that he said he wouldn't be there if it wasn't for some of these connections. So I think maybe he's more to set the tone, culture. You know, you got to bring your guys into the locker room. They can kind of police it for you. I think he's the veteran gravitas guy. I don't think he's actually there because they think he's going to affect the win total.
Yeah, he's the old head on the team.
Yeah, right.
It is interesting, though, because I feel like I did shows with both of you guys, and we talked about Parsons as a leader. And I told you guys I don't think that his teammates take him seriously. And I don't think that his teammates feel like he's the kind of guy that when things are going bad, he's going to fix things with his talking. And I feel like, I don't know, this could be just a personal beef, but I feel like these comments confirm all those things, that he doesn't think Parsons is a leader and that his talking doesn't help. Now, he could be He could be totally wrong on that, but that's just always the vibe I had. And this was like right there, front and center.
Well, it's so funny you guys say that, because we got in a similar discussion about Myles Garrett. We'll get into this later, that he doesn't have great leadership skills, maybe. And there was a report. Why is a pass rusher supposed to be the team leader? Aren't they supposed to just hike and go kill the quarterback?
Well, Strahan was.
I think Strahan, I think guys like Ray Lewis, who is, you know, outside linebacker. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think defensive guys can definitely be leaders.
It's funny. I think of the defensive ends as kind of, you have to be a little crazy and all in and just kill the quarterback. So I don't think you necessarily, I think the quarterback needs to be the leader, not Micah Parsons. It's interesting. Maybe it's more of a reflection that Dak Prescott's not a strong enough leader. For example, you could bring a lot of characters into wherever Tom Brady was.
Right.
Because everyone fell in line with Brady. Obviously, Dallas doesn't have that. And DeMarcus Lawrence was not that. And Dak Prescott is not that. Because Micah Parsons should not be the team leader. He's a 25-year-old linebacker defensive end. I don't know. That's how I don't see these pass rushers. Is that their role?
I mean, I think that your Philadelphia Eagles probably have a lot of guys on the defense who were tone setters. I think Brandon Graham was a tone setter and a leader more than Jalen Hurts. Now, that could have been more because of the age difference, but I think your own team proves that wrong because Jalen Hurts is so quiet.
TJ Watt's also a leader on Pittsburgh, for sure.
I don't know about that. There's been some criticism of TJ Watt this offseason that
he talks a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe or Nick Bosa.
See, Bo says that's a guy who I do not see as
a Max Crosby? I mean, I think these guys are leaders.
Yeah, whereas
Crosby's like one of the best.
Yeah, I know, but their team wins four games a year.
With Myles Garrett. I mean, I'm not saying and same with Michael Parsons. Like, I'm not saying that it could lead to the win total, but a defensive player can set the tone.
They can. I feel like a guy like TJ Watt or Michael Parsons, just wind them up and just let them go and just be crazy and go after the quarterback. So, and even I think DeMarcus Lawrence should understand that Micah Parsons is a whole ball of energy.
So here's the other part, though. Yeah. Parsons wants to be the leader, though. See, I think that, I don't know if Myles Garrett wants to be the leader. I think Max Crosby does and does a good job. Yeah. That's the combination that may not be working. Parsons thinks he is, wants to be, but is he actually able to back it up?
And also, is he leading by example by being the hardest worker there? I think Nick Bosa probably doesn't say much, but works hard. TJ Watt, whatever.
Yeah.
Garrett, maybe not. But I think Parsons is too busy to be in the weight room all the time. I think Lawrence is hinting at stuff like that.
Interesting.
Obviously. Isn't that what he means?
Yeah. He said if he stopped tweeting, maybe we would have won already. 855-212-4227. Ouch. Coming up next. Oh, lots to do with the NFL.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.